Ahoy mateys, welcome back to the podcast. This episode is fueled by Malama mushrooms and keto brains and a nice microdose of LSD. You can get the keto brains and the Malama link in the description. You can save some cash on that. As far as the LSD, you know the old saying goes, you don't find LSD, LSD finds you. So be on the lookout for that in your own life. Anywho, before we get into this podcast, I want to let you guys know about the ayahuasca retreat, October 20th in the Sacred Valley of Peru. I could have done a better job promoting this thus far and letting you guys know more details about it, but we have spots available for this and the registration is coming kind of close. We have another like month and a half or so that you can register for the retreat. This is with some Shipibo shamans in the Sacred Valley of Peru. It is going to be a really, really beautiful experience. I can't wait. I'm heading down to the exact spot to drink with the exact shamans in 4 weeks. Little less than 4 weeks. And I'm going to be down there documenting that journey, bringing it to you guys, doing some podcasts with some people down there. So if you want to get in on it, I will be back in October. Four-hour event. So if you want some more info on that, hit the link in the description and that will give you all of the information needed to come have a beautiful transformative experience with me and the squad. So hit the link in the description. Come join us in Peru in October. It is going to be epic. You do not want to miss out. Link in the description. Okay, let's get into it. Let's get into the podcast. We got our orange juice as well, also fueled by orange juice. So we're nice and fueled up, which is key. In my view, there's a giant window where I can see the mountains that you guys can see behind me. And seeing the trees below, absolutely picturesque. So happy to be here with you. It's really great to be on the mic right now. I had a weird... I had a really weird couple months. The last 2 months, like, have been really fucking weird. You know, summer has this way of really shaking things up for me. And things are starting to now become more clear and fall into alignment, and which I'm very grateful for. But I've learned so many lessons. I have... There's a nice hummingbird. The hummingbirds are so trippy. I've had an eventful summer, you know. It has very much been a journey inward, of course. Like, everything is an inward journey. Everything's an inside job. That's what it always comes back to. You know, I was traveling through Central America, and, like, through that time, I really was brought to my knees, like, in so many ways, you know, just feeling like my life was falling apart around me. Thankfully, I have been in this place enough to let it fall and to know that things falling apart is usually a good thing. It is steering you into alignment with what you're actually supposed to be doing and where you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to be doing it with. So, like, when things fall away, most of the time it's good to let it, you know, non-forcing. If it doesn't want to be in my life, I don't want it in my life. And that goes for everything. So, yeah. I'm sure you guys can relate. Summer's been crazy. And the universe just has a funny way of body slamming me into alignment. You know, sometimes it gives you a nice gentle nudge, like the bumper lanes at the bowling alley, a nice little nudge over. And sometimes you just need a fucking full-blown body slam from hell. To steer you back into alignment. And that's what's been happening to me, and it's all good. Here we are, this right here, hopping on the mic, doing this, is in alignment with me. This is my, man, this is a big part of my dharma in my life right now, is doing this and showing up and getting clear enough to be able to sit down and do this. You know, I have to, it's quite the practice to be able to speak to the world as often as I do. and to be able to do that from a grounded place. It's quite the practice. Which is beautiful, you know, that I've been able to make my life into a spiritual practice, you know, like I really don't view my life as though like I have my work and then I have my fun time and then I have my spiritual time, you know, it's just all one big practice, which I'm really grateful for that because it allows me to obviously learn a lot and observe a lot and collect a lot of data and make a lot of changes and allow the universe to work its medicine on me, which really is what it all comes back to, is like allowing change to occur as opposed to trying to will change into existence. Because when we get quiet and when we get still, we realize that the universe, God, our higher selves, is constantly, nature is constantly in this process of changing you. Like, nature is being changed. It's not changing, right? It's allowing itself to be changed with zero attachment. And that is why Ram Dass would say our mind is our karma, because our mind stands in the way of a clear view to God. And our mind is what causes the resistance to the change that is trying to occur within our lives. So the practice is to be able to observe the panicking, frantic mind, ego identity that is dissolving in front of you, and just allow it to die consciously, looking at it and letting it die. You know, we're a lot of times we are very scared to just look at things when really that's all that's required is our acknowledgement of it. We spend so much time running, pretending things aren't happening, distracting ourselves, and it's very easy to do. There's a million distractions in the world today. It's very, very, very easy to just pretend and go on like none of this is happening, when in fact it is happening. And if we don't allow change and go with the flow of change, then our circumstances inevitably will change. And probably won't be flowing as nicely as if we gave up the fight and just floated downstream, you know, as opposed to the river having to run us through the rapids and destroy our boat for us to get to where we need to be. You know, you're going to get to where you need to be eventually, whether it's this lifetime or the next lifetime or whatever. You know, we're going to get to where we need to be. But I feel like the practice is to continually tune in to the change that's occurring and allow it and flow with it, because the only constant in life is change. All flows, nothing lasts. That is the ultimate psychedelic truth. That is the truth of the universe, is that nothing lasts. All flows, including us, including our circumstances, including the people we love, including the things we love, including everything behind me that you're looking at, all the beautiful trees and everything, will all be gone one day. And so will we. So that's the only truth. So then it just becomes a practice of not attaching to things. We dove right in. We dove right in, didn't we? Big, big, big changes in my life. You know, I was talking with Eben the other day. We did a pod, which will be out soon. It'll be the next podcast that comes out. And we were just talking about how, like, our entire life is being completely rearranged right now for both of us. And I know many of you watching are probably feeling the same way, like just absolutely complete rearrangement of everything in your life. That can be relationships. Well, everything is relationship. It could be your relationship with other people, your relationship to your work, your relationship to your environment, whatever it is. Can we let go of the resisting mind and allow the change? Because when you are living a life facing God or facing truth, as opposed to your back turned away from it, there's nothing to fear. And the change that is occurring within you can be trusted. It may not be able to be understood, but it can be trusted. That's why one of my biggest affirmations that I always come back to is, I trust. You know, that's like, that is the one of the greatest tools we have access to is the breath. The conscious breath, and whatever meaning we want to tie into that breath. You know, the breath is our greatest superpower. Learning how to breathe is like the single most life-changing thing that's ever happened to me. I think breathing and psychedelics go hand in hand. You know, one of my lines is, psychedelics don't work if you don't know how to breathe. And what do I mean by that? It's a good question. It's a very expansive subject we can get into. But the breath is how we move energy around. The breath is how we move into new realms, into new states of consciousness. It is how we alter our state. It is how we facilitate energy in our body that is looking to be released. Or looking to be harnessed. The breath is our most powerful tool. And like, for example, when you're in a mushroom trip, right? And you're coming up and it's very uncomfortable and you have that inclination to get in the fetal position and hide, you end up, what happens? You end up mouth breathing, you end up getting very short on breath. And then you, a lot of times, can spiral into a quote unquote bad trip. But if you would just sit up, align your spine, empower yourself by breathing deeply into the stomach, into the body, we fill up the stomach. You can take another breath. Fill up the chest. You can like even vibrate it out, you know, that kind of thing. Oh no. Sorry, Jeff. My friend Jeff is calling me. Oh, that's alarming that it showed up on my laptop. Luckily, it kept our thing going. Let me let him know. Call you back soon. Okay. Anyway, psychedelics don't work if you don't know how to breathe. Or you could say you can integrate your psychedelic experience with the breath. The breath is how you integrate, right? By breathing it in, oxygenating the body, and then you can attach. What's so cool about the breath is like when you're using the breath to meditate, you can attach meaning to the breath. You know, nothing in this life has any meaning inherently other than the meaning we give it. So you can inhale love and exhale fear, for example. And that's a very conscious thing that you can sit down and do. That will actually make a real impact on you and on your state. I think this is very important stuff that I probably haven't talked about in a while. Like if you have been here since the beginning, which most of you haven't, and if you've watched all my podcasts, which most of you haven't, which is fine. You know, this is something I probably used to talk about a lot more. I'm just so like in love and fascinated with the plants and with the fungi and everything. And that's really where my work kind of calls me, but I would not be able to do anything. I would not be able to work with psychedelics in the way that I do if I did not know how to breathe properly. That is the that's the underlying foundation of being able to travel between realms, travel between different states of consciousness, is the breath. The breath is our greatest alchemical tool. So learning how to breathe deeply, learning how to move energy around with the breath, learning how to control and change your state with the breath. I mean, these are foundational to living a quote-unquote psychedelic life, I think, or spiritual life. If you're not tapped into the breath, you are just flailing in the wind in the middle of the ocean with no center, right? The breath is like your surfboard, you know? And if you're not breathing into your body deeply, it's like trying to go surfing without a surfboard. You know, it's foundational, really. The breath. And it's free. There's no excuses on that one. Because everybody's got an excuse about everything. I posted a video yesterday talking about how so many of us are just running around leaking energy all day. And we're just like spilling our energy into all kinds of random shit that does not serve us. And someone commented, yeah, but I got to go to work. So that's what he said. I got to go to work. I'm like, great. So having to earn an income is an excuse for you to be completely empty and be spilling your energy all day? I don't think so. You'd be surprised at what a few minutes of stillness and proper breathing in the morning could do for you. You know, waking up, getting some sunlight on your body, on your face, on your stomach, on your chest, taking some deep breaths, putting your body in a healing position. You know, we're in such fixed, rigid positions now, like in chairs and stuff all the time, that just like laying on your fucking stomach for 5 minutes on a yoga mat is like so healing. I'm like, these are just like, I don't know how we got into this, but like, this is like what I do day to day. You know, I'm not out here doing hours of Kundalini a day or anything crazy. I am just taking time each day to create stillness in my life. And when I don't take the time to do this, I notice it and I feel it. And I find myself in situations where I'm far less grounded. I find myself in situations where, you know, I'm not able to move from a calm, still, peaceful place. You know, I think cultivating peace is so important in our lives. Microdosing combined with proper breathing is probably the best way to get in flow state. Like, until you reach like Zen master yogi status or something. I know for me, certainly the psychedelics have been incredibly useful. I'm very grateful for them. But we got to integrate, you know, the integration is the most important part. And I think that is what has been integrating my psychedelic experiences, I think, is what has allowed me to have a flourishing life, quite frankly. Whether that's in my career, in my other businesses, in my relationships, in just the way I walk through and perceive reality, I think the integration of the psychedelic downloads is the most important thing. And how do you integrate? You integrate with the breath. You integrate with stillness. You integrate with getting back into the body, because the body already knows all of these psychedelic truths. The body already knows the answers to your life. The body is designed to heal itself, which again comes back to our nice Ram Dass quote, your mind is your karma. Our karma is our mind. because that's the only way, that's the only thing getting in the way. So that's why I think this, and I know that the stillness is so important, because even taking like 10 minutes to drop in with some breath work, like some Wim Hof method or something like that, just 10 minutes, quieting down the noise, that experience will benefit you for the rest of the day. It really will. It really has a lasting impact, because you were able to have a moment of clarity instead of just waking up and getting right to it, right back into the rat race, right back on your phone, smoking and eating and going to work and talking to people and hanging out and all this stuff. I think one of the greatest things I ever did in my life was take years to become a recluse and just like do a lot of meditation on my life. Meditation is very important. It's very, very important. And you know, I've been on a crazy journey with it. I used to be very, very, very into meditation. And then I kind of got this air about me to like, oh, my whole life is a meditation. I don't need to actually sit in meditation because my whole life is a meditation. Which is true. However, I wasn't getting those really, really still moments. And I wasn't taking the time to really move that energy around in a devoted space, which I think is important. Like, I'm breathing deeply. I'm breathing properly. I'm breathing consciously all day long. All day long. Like, I'll be in the car, wherever I'm at, breathing. Podcasting. Breathing. However, when you set a certain space and a certain time where you don't have to respond to anything, that you can completely let go, I think that's just on a whole other level of valuable to be able to tap in. Because, you know, so many of us walk around in an alert problem-solving state all day. We're just constantly, da, 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 da. But the more we can get into an open observatory state, I think that's when we can actually slow down and make decisions that are more grounded in truth, quite frankly. Because when your gears are just constantly turning and the mind is constantly looking for problems to solve, a lot of it's bullshit. A lot of it is made up. And when we're in an open observatory state, when we can bring our shoulders back, we can just observe without reacting, we come to find out that most things don't even need a reaction. That's some alchemical gold right there, is that most things don't need a reaction. And this comes back into the spilling your energy thing, is because when you are reacting to everything, you are giving energy to it. And most things don't deserve your energy. Most things are not worthy of your precious life force energy. So, just something to meditate on, something to think about. And I'm just preaching to myself here, as always, because that's all I got. That's all I got is my breath and the stillness that I'm able to create in my life. That's, without that, the whole thing's fucked. Maybe I should probably address like the whole thing. It's probably nobody cares by now, but you know, I put on Instagram, I'm leaving, I'm done with Instagram and all that stuff. And every time I take a break from Instagram, I know I make it so fucking theatrical and dramatic. Like, you guys are never going to see me again. But in reality, all I need is a few days off and I come back recharged and refocused, you know. But I believe that the truth can withstand pressure. And the truth can be beaten on and tested. And if it's true, it'll hold up. So I did that. I was beating on the what I felt was the truth, which is that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I challenged that, and I said, maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe I'm living a lie. Right? And here's the cool thing, is that the truth doesn't fold under pressure or under interrogation. The truth just is, and the truth will remain, and the truth remained. So here we are. I think it's good. I think it's good to test your beliefs, or else you then end up believing in lots of nonsense. So test your beliefs, challenge your beliefs, your ways of thinking, because most of the time they're not it's not rooted in anything real. Life is good. This next month, August, gonna be bouncing around a lot, and then end of August heading to Peru, which I would really love to see you guys there. I would really love to see you guys in Peru at the ayahuasca ceremony. We're going to be doing 3 ayahuasca sessions, 1 San Pedro session. We're going to be checking out some ancient ruins and some beautiful stuff. It's just a great time, great opportunity to connect with me, with the other tribe that's going to be there, and with the shamans and the people involved. These are really beautiful, cool people, and I'm honored to be part of it. So hit the link in the description if you want to come to Peru with us. We would love to have you there. Be sure to hit the link in the description. You can grab your Malama mushrooms, your keto brains. Thank God I got restocked on keto brains. I was out. I ran out in Guatemala, and even then I was rationing. I didn't have enough for every day. But I seriously can't even drink coffee without the keto brains in it now, because like the acidity in my stomach with just the coffee, and even adding butter now doesn't do it for me. Butter and milk, like the keto brains, it just hits, man. It allows me to absorb coffee and absorb my mushrooms. I put it in there. I just make it all in like one elixir. So I make my coffee, and sometimes I don't do coffee. Sometimes I'll just do the keto brains and the mushrooms. But my go-to is like some coffee, some good quality coffee, preferably the Malama mushrooms coffee when I have it. I have a massive box they sent me waiting at Davey's house that we're going to unbox. So thank you so much to Ben and Amanda. I could never thank them enough. I have like a 20-pound box of product waiting for me. But yeah, that's my go-to, is the Malama mushrooms Kona coffee with lion's mane infused in it. And then I add my keto brains, and then I add a scoop or 5 of the Cordyceps cacao mix. Cordyceps and I are in a tight relationship. I'm in a tight relationship with the fungi in general, but Cordyceps is absolutely one of my favorites. I really don't miss a day on my Cordyceps. Sometimes I'll take a little like weekend off or something, or sometimes I run out, like I'm about to run out, but I'm gonna have more soon. So anyway, that's my stack. You know, I'll throw some lion's mane in there, throw some chaga in there. I do everything with the cacao mix personally. So those bags are 50% cacao, 50% mushrooms. So anyway, these are all things that are helpful for me, and I'm just really, really grateful to be able to share it with you guys. So link in the description for all those things. Be sure to follow me on Instagram, TikTok. This podcast is available anywhere you listen to podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. If you want to leave me a review on Spotify or Apple on the podcast, that would be greatly appreciated. It really helps the podcast. Obviously, subscribing to my YouTube channel. I'm doing much more than podcasts these days. Really have taken a liking for vlogging. So lots of really cool vlogs on my channel. Mushrooms in Guatemala, nude beaches in Hawaii, pyramids of Mexico. So much cool shit. So be sure to check out my vlogs. And yeah, guys, I really appreciate you guys being here. I'm really feeling re-inspired, re-energized, ready to fucking go. So this has been really great. It's been great to just sit down and rip on the mic, which is what I really enjoy doing. I'm Feeling Mushroomy shirts will be making a comeback very soon. You can check out I'mFeelingMushroomy.com. Other than that, I'll see you in Peru, and I'll see you in the next episode. Love you guys. See ya.